God's saving of sinners. Romans chapter 1 through chapter 5. This morning I will ask you, unusually, to close your Bibles. You are listening this morning to Paul's letter in chapters 1 to 5 to the Romans. Coming up on the screen will come Paul's argument, an outline as we read. I invite you to hear the word of God. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you. This has been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images. Images resembling mortal man and birds and animals in crawling things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they had exchanged the truth of God for a lie and had worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness and evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy and murder and strife, deceit and maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they knew God's righteous decree that those who practice these things deserved to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. Therefore, you have no excuse. You have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges another. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and his forbearance and his patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works, to those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. He will give eternal life. But for those who are seeking, self-seeking, and do not obey the truth, but obey in righteousness, there will be but wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who keeps on doing good, the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For God shows no partiality. But all have sinned. Without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. It's not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but it is the doers of the law who are righteous before God. But the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse and even excuse them on that day, when according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. But you who call yourself a Jew, and you rely on the law, and you boast in God, you know His will and approve what is excellent because you are instructed from the law. And if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment and knowledge of truth, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that you must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law dishonor God by breaking the law. For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. For circumcision, indeed, is of little value if you obey the law. But if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So if a man who is circumcised keep the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded? Will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised but does keep the law will condemn you. You who have the written code and circumcision but break the law. No one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit and not by the letter. His praise, then, is not from man, but from God. So, then, what advantage has the Jew? What is the value of circumcision? Oh, much in every way. To begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. Well, what if we're somewhere unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Let God be true and everyone were a liar. As it is written, quote, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged, end quote. But if our unrighteousness serves to show the righteousness of God, what shall we say? That God is unrighteous to inflict wrath on us? I speak in a human way. By no means. For then how would God judge the world? But if through my lie, God's truth abounds to his glory, while am I still being condemned as a sinner? Well, then why not just do more evil that good may come, as some people have slanderously charged us with saying? Their condemnation is just. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin, as it is written. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So speaks the Old Testament. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world held accountable to God. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets do bear witness about it. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he passed over the former sins. This was to show, his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be both just and the justifier of those who have faith in Christ Jesus. Then, what has become of our boasting? It is excluded. Or by what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. So, is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of the Gentiles also, since God is one, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised by faith. Well then, do we overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Well, what shall we say then was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Quote, Abraham believed God and was counted to him as righteousness, end quote. Now to the one who works, his wages are not accounted as a gift, but are actually what he is due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted to him as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Quote, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, and those whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom God will not count his sin. So, is this blessing then only for the circumcised, or is it also for the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How old then was it counted to him? It was not after, but rather before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he already had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose then was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them, and if I may say, to us as well. And to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. For the purpose to Abraham and his offspring, for the promise to Abraham and his offspring, that he would be heir of the world, did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, and faith is null, and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith. In order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. It is written, quote, I have made you the father of many nations, end quote. In the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist, in hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith, but when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No, unbelief made him waver concerning God's promise. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that what God was able to do, what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up trespass and raised for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. One will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps maybe for a good person would dare to die. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified as by his blood, how much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God? For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who is to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. Many died through one man's trespass. Much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the result of the man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of God by the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul to us. Father, thank you. Thank you that while death reigned through sin, through the trespass of one man, through our own sins, and through the condemnation that came, righteous and just as it was, that you, through the obedience of one man, brought righteousness and justification to us through faith, not through what we do, but through what he has done. Therefore, life reigns through righteousness as we believe in you. May the word of God sink deep into our souls this morning and do its good work of giving life, of sustaining souls, of transforming our lives, conforming us to your great and gracious image. In Jesus' name, amen.